Thank you. We will start with a continuation for about 1 hour of the permit waste discharge requirement, which was item 9 of yesterday. Then what we will do is after that address item 16, which is the irrigated land regulatory program, groundwater coalition. And then we will move after that to item 15, which is the irrigated land regulatory program next ad order. This will allow the bulk of the day to be again devoted to addressing the coalition groundwater item. So I appreciate your willingness to work with us on this little change of the schedule, but I think ultimately we'll be able to still, in timely fashion, achieve what we had planned for today. Yesterday, where we left off at closing of our meeting at 5:15, was for our board, if my understanding is correct, wanted to continue the item today to allow the opportunity to give specific directions to staff on how to address the discharge permit. And we also, by my understanding, agreed that at this part of the meeting, it would not be questions to staff, or perhaps a couple of clarification, but basically more in the spirit of providing direction. So I will also ask legal counsel, Ms. Austin, to give us some additional reflections that she had the opportunity to review what our next step could be, legally speaking. Yeah, so if you could give us a little update, that would be appreciated.
Thank you, and I did mean to have you after last night, not sort of close this for a while, so we did have a chance to talk more about the various regulatory authorities as well as the permit conditions, the current findings that are in attachment G. So we did discuss the ability of putting the attachment G findings into the permit as conditions. Based upon some of the discussion yesterday, it sounded like there may be some additional questions from the board, some additional clarifications that they could provide to staff in terms of more specific direction on what specifically they would like to see in the three conditions. And so when I talk about the three conditions, I'm speaking about the screen size, I'm talking about the mitigation, and also the feasibility study that would look at the potential for subsurface intake or potential for potable, direct potable reuse. So given those are kind of three very broad parameters, you know, if you took the conditions from attachment G and put them in as is, you know, that is something you could do. Whether or not you would be satisfied, again, based upon the questions we heard yesterday from board members, that may be something you want to flesh out a little bit more today. So I think your suggestion, Mr. Chair, of providing staff with specific questions or concepts to look at in drafting those three conditions may provide us a little more chance for reflection and honing those three conditions into something that the board finds more acceptable.
And a question for also Mr. Harris to further provide clarification to our board timetable in regard to being able to bring to a final resolution this item.
Mr. Chair, are you speaking in terms of how this, if you continue the item, how it would relate to what the state board is doing?
Specifically, yes.
So if you recall yesterday, Ms. Whitney on the record stated that it was unlikely that the state board would address their policy before April. If this board chooses to continue the item to March, then that gives us plenty of time to make a final decision before the state board acts. So the city would not be in any jeopardy in terms of getting their permit as requested.
And this item could be continued in March here in Santa Barbara?
We can do that if that's enforced inside.
So now that we have, you know, the horizon laid out, I will open this to my colleagues for additional clarifications and direction that you'd like to give to staff.
So if I could start, if I recall, at 4:30, when public comment was completed, you had asked staff to comment on some of the issues that were raised, and I believe that they stated, Harvey Packard stated that they needed some time to organize their response, and I think if we could start with that, I'd like to hear from staff.
Yes, Ms. Johnson. I would suggest that before we start hearing from staff, I just have one more framing question I'd like to ask council.
Sure.
So my question is this. It seemed like yesterday the kind of the options that the board was looking at, and it was a little hard to tell from listening, but I think it sounded like there were some board members considering each, were to simply take those three conditions, perhaps move them into the permit, something like as is, and move forward, or look at something that, as several of the stakeholders have suggested, attempted to put a condition in there that stated that if a feasibility study showed that it was feasible to do, for example, under CBED intake, that would be required. So I guess my question is this, and I sort of heard a little bit what sounded to me like kind of different takes on it from yourself and from council and the state board. So my question is, if we just move forward with moving those three conditions perhaps out of Catchment G and into the out of the findings and into the permit, and don't impose further requirements regarding the intake, can we down the road, as because this is an NPDES permit, revise the permit conditions as a result of perhaps results of the study, whatever, to in the future require changes to the intake methods? So I guess my question does it look like that Ocean Plan amendment is going to limit us from doing that?
You have a kind of catch-22 that you're facing, and the issue is, if you get to a point where you're going to require these types of changes, you run the risk of this exercise has been about kind of a loophole, let's call it that, for lack of a better term. You have a situation where we needed a finding that we didn't know that we needed to make, and now we know we need to make it, so we're trying to smooth things over and make this permit work for the city of Santa Barbara. We have a situation, though, where if you go down the road and you say we're going to require that the implementation of this intake, you've kind of defeated the finding that you're contemplating making the amendment that's in front of you. So you now create a situation where you do have in your expanded facility, and then all of the other requirements that go along with your expanded facility would kick in. And so if that's your desired outcome, you could certainly go down that path, but you can just as easily say today, we think this is a newer expanded facility and skip the interim.
Well, so I'm not sure you understand my question. The question is, can we simply do some version of what staff is proposing today, perhaps moving the city's offers from findings to permit conditions. And if we do that, does that bar us from at some future point changing, putting additional requirements in on the intake?
The challenge will be whether you want the plant to go into operation in a timely fashion.
We do.
We do. And so adding those requirements, first of all, you run the legal risk of litigation, of course. And then second of all, you run the risk of defeating the finding that you're trying to, or that you're considering.
I still don't think you're understanding me. I'm saying if 4 years down the road, as a result of whatever the studies show, can we at that point change the conditions? I know we do it all the time with other kinds of NPDES permits. I'm not saying, can we come back next meeting and change things? You know, I understand the urgency for the city of getting this online. What I'm saying, and I also understand the city's commitment to do this in the most environmentally responsible way possible. And I think that's evidenced by their willingness to go ahead and do the study. My question is, if we make this finding now, if we simply put the conditions in, put as permit conditions now, the things that are in its findings, does that bar us from 4 or 5 years down the road, if the study shows feasibility, you know, of whether it's direct reuse or underfloor intake, of at that point imposing those conditions?
Okay, so assuming the board's currently in charge with an amendment that makes the finding that we're talking about making and imposes conditions in the permit, at some point in the future, I mean, you always have this option of the reopener and reevaluating conditions attached to a permit. So in the future, you can evaluate the plant operation and so on. The concern we all have, of course, is that you're dealing with a discharge, right? This is NPDES authority is dealing with discharge. And you're talking about intake. And so there's some fuzzy ground at that point about additional requirements. And so there again is the legal risk.
So we may or may not be able to down the road, is what you're saying, might be subject to challenge.
Yes.
And to further frame this, NPDES permits have renewal cycles, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the renewal cycle on this specific permit?
So I don't know when the normal 5 year time is.
But it's coming up in a couple, the actual renewal comes up in a couple of months.
Okay, then the next renewal after a couple of months.
Will be 5 years.
So I think this helps to further frame a little bit what the time frame of permit renewal will be. So
I'm not a lawyer, but I will ask counsel. I mean, to answer Mr. Johnson's questions, there are a couple of things going on. One is by then the state board will have adopted their policy and it'll be in place. You will have already approved the operation of this plant, and this is not a normal permit in the sense of like a wastewater treatment plant because of this policy and this and that section of the water code. So I'm not clear, maybe council can answer it, whether or not we can even come back and do that additional conditions after once you've permitted this. I mean, unless you have the interaction with the policy would occur at that point.
So the starting point we have, of course, is that, you know, discharge is a privilege, not a right. We have reopeners in our NPDES regulations. And we constantly, in each permit, that's the point of having 5 year permit cycles, is that you are constantly reevaluating the conditions of discharge. And so so you do have the option of evaluating whether or not the discharge makes sense, the conditions you want to put upon it, whether or not beneficial uses are protected. And that does occur every 5 years.
Can I make a suggestion that perhaps what we should be doing is trying not to predetermine what the outcome is going to be because of this legal permeations here, and why don't we give staff direction as to what ideally we would like to see happen with these conditions, and then let them come back to us and say, this is how you could possibly do it. And we could call this in about wanting to be able to add conditions later, and perhaps we should get a memo from council on the pluses and minuses going forward with these options.
So, yeah, and I think, you know, having a clear understanding of the time horizon, you know, is good also, because I think there was some fuzziness in terms of, you know, renewal permits, etc. So I think your suggestion is in line with what we had, I believe, agreed yesterday on what to correct your chief this morning and the, you know, amount of time we have available. I would like to go to respond to Dr. Hunter, which would be her request. Is staff prepared to give us some feedback? Mr. Harris?
Sorry, could you repeat that, please?
Yes. Dr. Hunter requested that staff provide a response to the discussions that we had pertaining to this permit. So my question is, is staff prepared to give us a response? We customarily, at the end of an item, give an opportunity for staff to respond and comment, and we have not done that. So that's basically the spirit of what.
So I would ask Harvey to come to Mike, because I can't see over there. I was not part of the conversation last night, so I'm going to have to rely on Harvey to sum things up.
Right, okay. This is Harvey Packer. So, first of all, there were a couple questions by the board members that you can go over. One had to do with mitigation and whether there was mitigation in the original permit. I think the answer to that is no. The second question had to do on the question of whether information in CEQA studies was adequate or sufficient to make a 13-142 finding. Maybe Karen can get into that a little bit. But after that, I can just summarize what we heard yesterday. We heard what you have in the staff report and what you heard Dr. Von Long summarize was information that staff believes gives the board the opportunity to state now clearly that this is an existing facility. So our recommendation initially was adopt the findings in attachment G, which clarifies the facility is existing. And these are the findings that the board could have made in the early 1990s. You can do that two ways. You can do that either as originally recommended in the staff report, just finding attachment G, or as discussed yesterday, the board could often include those findings as permit provisions, the three conditions that Cameron mentioned. And we actually have some language that we just put up on the screen that pass out that shows how the board could adopt this. I don't think there's any reason why the board could do either of those things this morning. And that is a cool question.
Could you repeat the last sentence? And as a reminder also, you know, a court recorder had a request to make sure, you know, we stick to the right level, and also not in this case, Mr. Harvey, but that we speak clearly so she can properly document what we're saying. But I missed your last sentence.
The last sentence, well, back up a little bit, there were two ways the board could adopt that finding. As initially proposed in the staff report, which was simply a finding in attachment G, or, as the board has also discussed, converting the finding into three conditions as provisions in the permit. I stated that we have some draft text that we could look at this morning with those three conditions part of the permit. So So I don't think there's any reason why the board couldn't do either of those options this morning. Then we get into what channel keeper brought up, and the three items that Ms. Redmond suggested that the board could do also. In our analysis, doing all three of those things would be the same as determining now whether the board of facilities new and requiring the full current 1-3-1-4-2 analysis. The board could also do that. You couldn't make that finding today because the city would have to do the analysis first. There would be some time required for the city to do that. So our recommendation would be to do either one or two. Adopt the finding as initially proposed in the staff report, or, which is probably more, I think this is easy and get at some of the questions beforehand, adopt the finding and the three conditions in the permit. And we can look at those, and I think we have a hard copy to pass that also. And so my recommendation would be to do number two, adopt the finding, put the three conditions in the permit, and you can wrap that up by time if you want to look at those conditions.
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you,
Chair. Harvey, I don't know if you have the materials, but it would help us to understand. If we determine that the facility is new, mm-hmm. and we had to go through the full determination, I'll skip the numbers. Can you project what kind of time frame that might entail? And I understand we're talking about hypotheticals because these processes take the time it takes, but what is a best case scenario today?
So it would involve relooking at the four parts of the statute, the site, the design, the location, site, technology, mediation, that's five, but there's four of them that are actually in the code. And the main ones that we're talking about are the screen design and whether it's a screen or subsurface technology. So the main studies that the city would need to do would be the feasibility study of the subsurface intake. And we've heard that the city is willing to do that within 2 years. Whether they could do that more quickly is a question that they would have to answer. But I would suspect we're talking about a 2 year time frame in this.
Harvey, could we allow the city to proceed using its current intake structure while they do the feasibility study?
Their current permit allows them to operate the facility. The hiccup is what happens if the state board adopts a policy that calls this facility new and asks them to question action.
Well, we don't have to worry about what the state board does, right? Because it's going to do what it does, mm-hmm. and it's going to react to what we do. And I think we should just be doing what we think makes right, and then let the chips fall as they may. I mean, I think from what I'm hearing from the board, we'd like the city to be able to operate its plant the way it is existing, okay, not mutated.
And the current permit allows you to operate the facility. The reason we're here today is to give them that future certainty, which is missing.
Okay. Well, can we give them that certainty, but however, require that they do the feasibility study?
We can do that. You can make the finding if they're existing and make the requirement that they do the feasibility study.
We can do that.
Option
there. If we do that, I just want to make sure that we're also allowing the fine to operate with the current intake structure.
Right, and what I think I'm hearing also is that we have the opportunity to look at that study in terms of the timeline, how they actually conduct that study in the course of continuing forward with moving the plant to to an operational state. So I think we can also consider that as part of the third.
The timing
for the study. Yeah, we can.
We'll staff to get back to us on that, confer with the city.
Okay.
And then we have some timeframe.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah, that's what I.
Yeah, and that's just a mitigation component of this. I mean, I do feel pretty confident that I'm not satisfied that what was initially done for the mitigation component under the statute, I don't feel confident that was what it was. So we could look at the factors in the statute, perhaps some of them, you know, were satisfied. I'm not convinced all of them were, so that's the trouble I have. Was had a Monday morning quarterback, you know, as to what's going on here. And so, I mean, I would want additional work done to satisfy the requirements of the statute. One of them is the mitigation component. I think that they just can't throw money at something without us at least having an idea as to the specific study, specific training, and interest, so that an informed choice can be made as to what is the appropriate mitigation. And maybe the results of that study show that it really is a de minimis effect. Maybe very little mitigation is to be done. That's a potential outcome. But I do like the idea of taking the findings and moving them into some kind of condition. And I think we need to have council maybe brief us internally as to our options in being able to kind of look at this down the line and feasibility study from staff and see what options we have for enforcement of it.
Mr. Delgado and then Mr. Johnson have questions or actually wanted to comment before moving to that. You know, let us remind ourselves that we certainly can give staff direction to come back to us and further say, okay, staff, regarding mitigation, review this, confer with the city, and you know, come back with perhaps some additional suggestions. The other item I wanted to bring up, again, you know, I call it a time horizon, is realizing also that I think we need to be sensitive to the fact that the, you know, we are in a drought condition. We saw yesterday the projection that the city made in terms of water availability. And without falling in the path of rushing, without due diligence and properly vetting this process, I think we need to keep in mind also the time sensitivity of helping the city get this plan online so we don't have these unintended consequences. And I think we have a responsibility as a water board not to cause, inadvertently, drinking water shortage, because it ultimately, this impacts, human drinking water consumption. So I think we need to be sensitive about, making sure we move this right along and not cause too much delay. So having said that, Mr. Delgado, you have asked a comment, and then Mr. John.
All right, thank you. I agree with Santa Brothers. Reopen that desal plant as soon as possible. And the other question is, what kind of environmental mitigations are appropriate and legal, et cetera? We heard from the State Board Council, Mr. Wiles, I think yesterday, that we're being asked to do something unusual, unprecedented, something that may not make sense because of COVID, but that he doesn't think it's a dangerous precedent. So given that what we're being asked to do is something out of the ordinary, and given that they've already spent $34 million to build this plant, and they might spend about $40 million to reopen it, that's approximately $75 million in capital costs for this plant. And the $500,000 in mitigation, sort of mitigation we were talking about yesterday, that's 0.6%. And so if we're discharging brine into the ocean, if we're in training, large amounts of larval animals into the system, And if, as we were told by staff this morning, there was no mitigation to this project, then I hope that when we come back in March, that our board gets some clarity on the level of environmental impact this project has, because I, for one, haven't read the 91 and 94 EIRs, and also that the board gets some clarity on the appropriate level of mitigation for that, for those environmental impacts.
Back to Mr. Delgado, Mr. Johnson.
Yes. I'd like to see the language that staff prepared for what they characterized as option two, for moving the three findings regarding the actions the city is proposed to take into the permit. And frankly, assuming that that language is acceptable, which I expect it to be, it might require a teeny bit of tweaking by us, I don't know, I'm prepared to move that we adopt it. I think that there are some uncertainties involved. The first is the uncertainty that council laid out as to whether or not down the road we will legally be able, if the feasibility study shows it's possible, to require that the city of Santa Barbara do under seafloor intake. And frankly, even if that is not legally possible for us to require, if it's feasible, it's quite possible the city will choose to do it in any case. That has been their history, I would know. The second uncertainty is, and I think that board members Young and Delgado have both touched on it, that it's difficult to do mitigation for something that is going to be certainly in training some apparently small but still real, and the can is no longer significant, but the can was significant impact back in 91, amount of plankton and larvae, and it's difficult to do one for one mitigation. And I don't think mitigation, as Mr. Delgado said, is a percentage of the capital cost of the project. That's not, I don't think, appropriate. It's simply a factor of the impact. But despite those uncertainties, I think given the situation, given the actor that we're dealing with, the city of Santa Barbara, which has a history in many ways pressured by their citizenry of being a very good actor, I think it's appropriate to move that and to move this off our plate today. So I'd like to see the language, and I'd like to make the motion.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes, I agree with my fellow board member Johnson that what I've heard today is that most of us are in agreement that we want to see the city of Santa Barbara be able to proceed with reactivating the facility, the desal facility. The greatest number of questions seem to arise with the intake design analysis, and I'm very cautious about proceeding with additional conditions beyond what's presented in our report. Because coming from local government, you have the issue of also trying to impose additional mandates, and a lot of the times they're unfunded mandates. And so I understand needing the flexibility, not just of time, but also the additional discussion beyond just the initial study, to be able to determine how you are going to apply the new findings in your own local context. And I want to be able to assure the city that they will have that option to return to their community and have that discussion at the local level, how the new findings would apply in the city of Santa Barbara.
Thank you. Dr. Hunter?
Yeah, I would like to see the language that staff has proposed. I also want to acknowledge Mr. Johnson's comments in terms of maintaining involvement of residents in looking at the study, which will take some time, and that there is that internal community conversation. We already know it's underway. I think that I also, though, am in agreement with Mr. Young and Mr. Johnson that mitigation is offered, which is a sum of money as well as a link to an existing project that I understand is already underway and is funded by the Coastal Conservancy, which says to me that it is a very high quality, high priority project and is in some phase of work leading to final conclusion. And I think that I can understand why the city would find that to be a valid and an important project that is within the city's purview to see beneficial outcomes for the community as a whole and the region. However, I feel that the mitigation should not be in the language that we look at. The mitigation should not be linked to any, at this point, any final direction. And we might consider, as we have with other permits, giving the city time to discuss with staff how that money can be identified for mitigation purposes or to contribute to initiating a study in a shorter time frame, and perhaps allowing the executive officer to have review and oversight of the final decision as to how the mitigation will be designed. It may be that we want to, as board members, want to have the opportunity for Mr. Harris to bring that back to us when that occurs. That's why I'm interested in the timeline associated with completing the study and coming back to us with findings, which I understand now would be mid-permit. If the renewal goes forward in a few months, then we have 5 years, I certainly would not want to wait until the permit comes up for renewal. I would like to see it come up at a mid-permit if that's possible. So that we're moving on several tracks, but again, we're addressing the mitigation, which under other circumstances and other permits or these kinds of things, we typically have good information. We have some scientific understanding of what the situation is, what the impacts are. At this point, we really don't have that. And I think we rely on science-based information that guides our understanding of where the balance is. You know, we won't see one-to-one in the work environment. That is very, very complicated and difficult. But I think there is information existing that can help inform us and see the picture in a little better perspective from the marine side.
But, you know, maybe perhaps characterize in a different way what Dr. Hunter said. I think the issue pertaining to the mediation, and I think that is one item I sense my fellow board members, you know, having a little bit of a challenge with, is simply both the qualitative and the quantitative aspect of the mediation. I think that's where it is. The qualitative meaning is the proposed project qualitatively really going to give the best results in mitigation offset, realizing that we're really not comparing apple and apple in terms of ocean water versus freshwater discharge. And then number two, the quantitative, is the qualitative portion of the proposed mitigation, meeting the level of expectation in relationship with the size of the project and the impact. So I think that's one item that we certainly can also ask staff for direction. I don't think we're able today to resolve that.
Do you want us to look at the proposed conditions?
Yes.
The council looked at that, and that included, you know, perhaps a response for just something to add, but, you know, to the person, I know the committee that was up there, so we could at least give staff direction. Maybe we can accept the conditions, or maybe we need to meet more conditions.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I was trying to do is summarize a little bit of time, I apologize. So we're all basically, you know, looking at it in the similar fashion. So do you have anything to add at this time?
I've been thinking about this a lot since yesterday, and I think that just as you, Chair Wolf, stated, you want to hasten the process, and so evaluate the conditions and making sure we're good on that, because we don't want to move too fast, but we want to move fast enough to make it good.
Okay. So let's see what you have, and as a reminder, I think at the state board level, sometime making changes on the fly hasn't always worked very well, because you know, we have had little loops in the process, so we need to be careful here not to try to make too many instant decisions.
Tammy, could you lower the lights, please?
So, couldn't change on the screen, I think that
it's not on.
The last time we had our county council.
And Mr. Chair, perhaps we could take each paragraph, each component separately, and kind of flush down from the board whether we find an agreement with them or want to see if we can then move on to the next one. It's going to be all over the place.
We need to take this indeed in an order, otherwise, you know, at 5 o'clock, we still will be discussing
that.
So the basic language is copied directly out of Huntington G, which you've already seen. So the first paragraph talks about the screen, and it's straight from attachment G, when you've seen a 1 millimeter or less size slot, and you're going to be in place and properly maintained all the time.
Excuse me, Chair. I don't know that I have in front of me what's being referred to.
Let's first hold off, if you don't mind, until we finish passing around all the information so we all have the same music sheet in front of us.
This is the second handout, and it's the second page.
So what, to make sure here, what we have in front of us is G1 and G2.
Right.
And we have page 26 and 27. Are those the attachment you provided us?
Yes. You're looking at page 26 and 27 on the screen.
Okay.
This would allow the city to put in the screen that they talked about yesterday, which was the wedge wire opening with the copper nickel alloy.
Okay. Same thing with the consulting engineer. Okay.
Fine.
All right.
Look at my left, my right.
Paragraph II is the mitigation, administrative attachment G, $500,000 to the Coastal Cliff Conservancy for the Upper Delta Road Slough Restoration Project.
I'll start with Mr. Delgado.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify this. My earlier comments about mitigation being right now $500,000 compared to $75 million capital costs was not to suggest that mitigation should be a quid pro quo link and a certain percentage. I understand that. But what I want to say here is that neither should mitigation be an arbitrary figure, $500,000, $400,000, $1 million, unless we know what's the appropriate level of mitigation. We don't know what that should be. I have no problem with $500,000 being part of the solution, but I don't know if that's in the ballpark, if it's the same order of magnitude of what is appropriate for the level of impact. But that said, I'm happy with this language. I just don't, am not in favor of implying that this is it for mitigation and we're done and the project can go forward, though I do want the project to operate as soon as possible.
Mr. Johnston?
Two things. My first concern is that speaks to what Dr. Hunter and Board Member Young had raised, that they wanted to make sure that the mitigation was appropriate to the impact. And I might and the way that this is structured currently, it's either the Upper Devereaux Slough Restoration Project or the Coastal Wetlands Restoration Project approved by the Regional Board. And we might want to tweak that language to simply to cover those concerns and to say that it would be to a project approved as most suitable mitigation by the executive officer, so that it's not necessarily tied to Devereaux Slough if there is a more appropriate mitigation. Secondly, on the question of the amount, the city testified yesterday that they had applied, and I don't remember the details, a methodology to the study to figure out what the impact was going to be. The most impacted species was the white croaker, and the net impact annually was the egg output of one adult croaker, as I recall, for that particular species. And that they had then made a series of calculations, and that the $500,000 number was over what substantially over what that series of calculations produced. I don't know if staff had a comment on that. I would be more comfortable if we leave the meeting today and the city leaves the meeting today with a sense of the dollar amount and the ability to talk going forward with staff as to whether this is the most appropriate mitigation project. So I don't know if staff had a comment on the dollar amount and the calculations of that.
Unfortunately, we lost our experts, but I'll try. What I believe you're talking about with the white croaker was the studies that Dr. Baumgartner talked about that were done in the Santa Cruz area, which were probably the best idea, the best study available that we could apply toward this project. And as far as I know, there is no data that we can actually point to and say this is what this project, this will be the effect or the entrainment effect of this project. We don't have that data. All we have is studies in similar situations that we can try to point out may apply to some extent to this project. We won't have any more data as far as I know in March either. If we're talking about staff coming back with more of a better idea of what the effects of this project would be in this environment. We can't come back before March to do that. If, as Mr. Young was talking about, and maybe Dr. Hunter, to taking some time to do some actual studies about what the effects of this project will be in this environment. And we're talking about, I believe, a substantial time involved to do that.
Can I ask a quick clarifying question to what was just heard? It's simply this. The EIRs of 91 and 94 did not have any data estimating what local data for what the project impacts would be.
I don't want to mistake that. Maybe a consultant could refer to that, but I believe there were data referred to in the EIRs that talked about local impacts, not necessarily right out here in the harbor, but in the interior, in the general area.
Joe Monaco would be the consultant for the city. But I guess first to clarify on mitigation amount, one of the things that we discussed with both regional board and state board staff was exactly what you're talking about here. How do we come up with an appropriate amount? And so what we looked to was the information that was assembled by the expert panel that was charged to look at entrainment effects as part of the ocean climate by the State Board. One of their initial reports and efforts was to gather information on entrainment data up and down the coast, not just for desalination, but for coastal power plants and so forth. Excuse me. And they looked at what the effects of those projects were and what the mitigation was associated with those effects. And they used those data to come up with what they felt was an appropriate formula or mitigation fee that was volume-based. So it was a firm million gallon per day of intake fee amount. And I don't recall off the top of my head exactly what that fee amount was, but we used that to apply to our intake amount, and they came up with a dollar amount. And again, I apologize for not having specific figures on that. That number was somewhere in the order of $200,000 to $300,000. And I think between the staff and the city, we agreed that we really wanted to come up with an amount that would have a meaningful effect on a mitigation project. And so that's where the $500,000 figure was then determined. That we felt that $500,000 could make a meaningful impact on a mitigation project.
Thank you for the clarification.
Appreciate it. So my concern with this paragraph is that it's the cart leading the horse. And so if we don't have the data, site-specific data, to enable us to really, you know, decide what's the appropriate type of mitigation and level of mitigation, I would want this to be rewritten simply to require the city, when it starts desal plants and starts using the open ocean intake, that it's doing the entrainment and entrainment study at that time, so that we actually have the data that can better inform us as to what kind of mitigation would be appropriate or to what level. And maybe none is required. Maybe it is de minimis. Maybe it's greater than what all of these other studies seem to suggest. I don't know. But I think that this is premature. This paragraph is premature. We get to that later. We've got to get the information first. And subsection B in the statute allows us to get a baseline study.
I don't think, and I know Mr. Johnson wants to speak also, I don't think the mitigation is premature, whereas perhaps the mature, correctly, is getting down to the specific.
Well, let's take mitigation as the next thing for us to kind of consider. Perhaps it's appropriate. But I'd rather get information to inform us specifically as to what the entrainment contingent impacts are going to be.
But if we are, my understanding from all of you is that you would have liked to come up with an amendment language which has three parts. One of which was the screen. The second was mitigation. The third was additional study. So if we want to address the second item, mitigation, I think perhaps we can, you know, if we say, well, we'll deal with it down the road, where we're really not going anywhere in trying to...
We would be if we require that they do the trend and opinion study, and then what results of that study, the type of mitigation will then be decided.
Well, the type of mitigation that I think we need to quantify...
Why?
Well, I don't think it is very manageable to have an open-ended requirement of mitigation. Generally, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, mitigation on permits has some specificity to it rather than, well, whatever it's going to take.
Cameron, I thought the Surfrider Foundation opinion appeared to give the water boards some kind of leeway to be able to get back into the permits and to make further decisions based on information that comes back through studies and investigations. Am I wrong about that?
So let me take a look at that case study. What I was going to suggest is if you would like to take just a short break of 5 minutes, and if Jeff would like to speak with Harvey and Ken and perhaps some representatives of the city to talk about the concept of the study that you're speaking of, because that is slightly different. That it's a twist from the current mitigation that's been proposed. And so I wonder if it would make sense to have that conversation and see if that has wheels. And then during that 5 minutes, I can answer your question once I'm better.
Well, it's up to the board. Collectively, what the board wants staff to do. That's my opinion on this paragraph.
And if it was, I'm sorry, if it would help, we could get to this sooner because we've been talking. We're happy with this language. It does provide the board with flexibility about where to designate the project. And as I stated, we're interested in doing a meaningful project. If the board wants to just take this out and require us to do an entrainment study, but allow us to go forward and operate, I think what I'm hearing from the city is we're open to that approach too. So it would be something we would be willing to discuss, and if we could work it out today, we would be happy.
So, Mr. Haggerty, did you say that the city would be willing to do an opinion entrainment study?
Correct. In exchange for what's currently listed there, we would be open to either approach.
Okay. And then could we, based on the results of that study, could we revisit what type of mitigation might be appropriate?
Yes. And now we would then have the data to assess. I mean, we think that this actually is. As was stated, we think this number of years is likely higher than what is appropriate, but if we want to wait and do the study is very costly, so let's not be, it's a very costly study to do. But we would be willing to discuss that, and if we can work out condition language, we'd be happy to have that on the table.
And just to caution the board, so the what I'm hearing is that the city is talking about an exchange, so not doing what is listed as Roman numeral 2, but doing an impingement entrainment study in lieu of that $500,000 mitigation, at which point you would have information to discuss what mitigation should really look like. The cautionary tale here is that once you have adopted the findings that under 13142.5b, you don't get to go back and get a second bite at that apple. So you can't require additional things under that section once you say that they have made all the findings and done all the things that they were supposed to do under that section.
Well, can we just say that the appropriate level of mitigation shall be determined?
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think in our mind, these are outside the findings that you would otherwise make. This would be a commitment the city would be making to do the study and to use that study to come back and determine the appropriate amount of mitigation
And we're saying this is appropriate now. Now we think it is appropriate. We're putting it on the table to move this process forward for all the reasons you've heard. If you want to get more data to assess whether that or some other amount is appropriate, we're happy to pursue that. But in our minds, it doesn't relate to the findings. It is a separate condition that would now be in the permit that we would do it in.
Dr. Hunter?
I just wanted to put into this discussion something we haven't considered, and which I've given some thought to. If we were to move these conditions and we establish the timeline for the study, it is also one of these conditions. One aspect of that is that currently that plant is not operating. And what it would be accomplished by allowing the study to start as soon as possible, whatever that means, or as soon as reasonably possible, that we would be able to get baseline data prior to the intake being in operation with Caroline Seawater. So this study, in my mind, would have gained what we've been missing all along, which is a real picture of what the conditions are at the site. And then, over time, as the study continues, we've got a baseline of what the actual natural conditions are without detriment and impingement effect. So I just want to make sure that that is something we understand about the potential for allowing the city to go forward, and also putting a timeline on the study that would initiate some type of data collection that is robust, that would give us a baseline that we don't have now.
One comment, just so I want to make sure we're all clear on this, talking with council, is if we put the requirement in, it doesn't mean that we can, and they come back, let's say they come back with a study, and I'm going to, this is hypothetical, so that we can get some clarity on what we can and cannot do. If we put that in a permit, and let's say they come back and it's $1 million or whatever, and they have to do this or that, my understanding is that we can't require it at that point. So if it was some, that's, so you're taking a bit of a chance with that.
Yes.
Is that correct, Ms. Austin?
That's my understanding. Thank you.
Okay, next I have Mr. Delgado, then Mr. Texas, then Mr. Johnston, then Mr. Young.
Thank you. I just want to say that last night we agreed to come back to this and give some clarifying direction. I get the sense that we're sort of rushing into a very detailed analysis, and it's going to take us hours, and this is what we wanted to avoid. So if we could give a general direction so that, as our executive officer just said, they could come back in March and give us these iterations of what the consequences, so we don't step into something today in haste.
Yep, and I have a little sticky to here reminding me that we're already 1 hour in this process. Mr. Johnson.
My gut feeling tells me, while I'm sympathetic to what Board Member Young is saying, my gut feeling tells me if we go down that road, we're going to end up spending a bunch of the city's money on a study, and we may well get less mitigation than we're going to get right now. In any case, it's going to be very difficult to get to get mitigation that really comports one-to-one with the impact in that 30-foot deep, 2,000-foot out zone. So my gut is to say, let's take this and move on. As far as Mr. Delgado wanting to push this to March, I think we do have, I think as much clarity now as we're going to get from staff in March on A, the legal implications. Staff is satisfied with the language. This is not seat of the pants language. This is something they spent time on, and I respect that. And we're not going to have more data in March. So I'm still prepared to move adoption of this language as I can.
Mr. Young, next.
I've already stated how I feel about this. I think once the board has individually spoken, we get to control us to kind of see what direction you give staff on this particular paragraph.
Next, Ms. Cervantes.
Part of what I'm hearing from legal counsel is that if we, because what I hear from the board is that we want to be able to have additional data so that we can figure out enforcement actions if what the studies show are not implemented. And I think that there was a lot of metaphor around time travel yesterday for the past, and I think that now we're trying to move towards too far into the future without, you know, providing the opportunity for the city to engage in the research that they have committed to multiple times, you know, for both the analysis of new intake technologies and then also now for impingement and attainment. So I think that I'm also ready to move on what we have before us.
Just, excuse me, Mr. Chair, for clarity, Ms. Montes used the term enforcement, and we're not talking about enforcement actions for this, so I just want to be clear.
Not staff, but more board member comments have talked about requiring the implementation of what the feasibility studies produce.
But that's different than enforcement, though, so I just want to be clear. That's not what we're talking about.
Ms. Thomasberg?
I think the acceptance of this right now is worth the risk to get it going.
Dr. Hunter?
I'm satisfied with the language, with one exception. I would suggest that we remove the word wetlands and that the last part of that sentence read for an equivalent coastal restoration project. I think that would give us a little more latitude in looking at potential mitigation and access to these impacts.
I would accept that as an amendment to the motion I'm proposing.
So from my perspective, that was actually one of the suggestions I was going to make, is to remove the wetlands. I think what it does is basically quantify the mitigation effort, and it does provide the flexibility through our regional board. And when we say regional board, perhaps we need to further refine the term, which would be either from regional board staff or our regional board executive officer, as we have done in some previous language amendments. Do you have a comment on that, Mr. Harris?
No, I would agree it should be approved by the executive officer. And I think that would be a good correction, a good change.
Okay. Any other?
Excuse me. Do we actually have a motion, or we're just giving our opinion?
I think we're giving our opinion.
Okay. Right now, I want to make sure I didn't miss it.
Right now, when we're opinionating.
Okay.
So do we have a motion based? No, we weren't gonna go there. We weren't gonna go paragraph by paragraph.
Okay, let's go to the last paragraph.
So, but with paragraph two, we're in agreement.
With the caveat that after studies are done, we first data, this is not data driven, and it shouldn't be quid pro quo capital costs, but neither should it be, I believe it should not be arbitrary. And we don't know where this comes from exactly, so I'm happy with this language as general direction to staff for a couple of months. They can chew on it and bring it back to us in March. That's my level of comfort with this. Last night you said general direction this morning. So as far as general direction for this morning for staff to contemplate this and its implications, I'm very happy with it.
Dr. Hunter?
Yes. Yesterday, when we were considering this item and in the discussion, we did not have the information that Mr. Monaco contributed this morning, which is that the statewide board and staff, regional board staff, had conferred with the expert panel that's working on the desalination regulations for the Ocean Protection Act, and Ms. Wiles can comment on that. That suggests to me that this is within the realm of current understanding, kind of the leading edge of what is important in the state's regulations. And if that panel and that discussion produced the idea that it was somewhere in the nature of 200,000 to 300,000, and the city then moved it to 500,000 in order to offer what they thought was substantial or meaningful, potentially meaningful mitigation in some restoration or some way of addressing degradation of coastal habitat, et cetera. That changed, that was a game changer for me. I felt that at that point, that 500,000 had some valid analysis behind it. That expert panel is the best we have right now in the state. They are the most informative and spent, I believe, 3 years looking at that. So I feel that, and I also understood that council is telling us that we have no authority to go back and say you must spend $1 million if it turns out that that level of impact reaches something the world would like. We can't do that. At this point, we're assured the city has committed $500,000 to mitigation. And I would like to consider that this is our best and final time.
Okay, so I think we have a consensus. And unless there's a compelling reason for one more comment or question, let's move to item three.
I just need a little clarification. Is this project currently being completed? Does the $500,000 finish the project? I mean, does it need more money before we see any tangible results that would actually result in mitigation?
Mr. Chair, Board Member Young, my name is Rebecca Bureau, Public Works Director for the City of Santa Barbara. Yes, there's an ongoing number of projects at Devereaux Slough, and this will actually result in the restoration of wetland habitat in a portion of one of those projects. And I will say it's a very attractive project because, as you know, there's a lot of administrative costs to developing an individual new project. But when we can actually provide funding towards one that has those costs already covered, we would let the money go to work.
So just on this line, is there an opportunity for further matching grants? If, you know, you have a $500,000, and say if we get that, then we can get another X amount from another grant?
I don't know if this $500,000 will have matching for them. I certainly know they're very competitive, and typically there is matching obligations, but this is a donation effectively, so it's not tied. It would be able to be used as matching, I'm sure. And I do know they have a number of stages of additional projects they want to do in the area.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. So I suggest we move on to item three, please. So, staff?
Item three is a little bit different than the language in the finding G. It adds a interim deadline of submitting the work plan, and we propose a date of 6 months from now, July 31st, 2015, to submit a work plan for review by the GO, and then a final report by the original date of finding G, which was June 30th, 2017.
Okay. Comments? Mr. Delgado?
Yes, can clarify the details of what would be in the report? I don't know if this is just an analysis of potential alternatives or if it's an in-depth analysis of technical aspects of direct potable reuse and legislative political requirements to move that ahead, and regarding the subsurface. I mean, there seems like there's different levels of studies that we could be assuming here, and I want to get some clarification on those.
To me, it means one single. To me, it means all the information the city would need to make a decision on whether subsurface intakes are feasible. That's technologically costs and everything else that goes into that decision.
Okay, so I think this is a good example of a general direction that with not so hasty to apply to it, we would have 30 to 45 days to get some ideas about optional specifics. Because right now it's just very general, and that's what we agreed last night it would be, so I'm happy with this language.
Mr. Johnston? I'm happy with the language as is. I'm happy with adopting it today. While I agree that it is general, I would note that that subhead one of it says that the first step is they submit a work plan for the study to the executive officer, and that the executive officer approves it. So I'm much more prepared to have staff and the executive officer go over what is going to be, what are going to be the fine details for this study, than to have us do that.
Mr. Young?
Are these timelines okay with the city?
We will certainly work to make sure we meet them. The first one's a little tight, but I think it's doable.
Okay. And what about the second one? Is the big one?
The second one is the one that we had already committed to, so I think we're comfortable with that.
Okay. So I guess the question is, after we have this public hearing, later than June 30th, 2017, we really have no ability to force the city to do anything. It's just going to be a hearing, and they're going to tell us what the results are and what they have decided. That's correct. And we're hands off.
Council has said that that's a gray area legally, that we may or may not have authority there.
That is a definite risk. I think Mr. Young nailed it.
But it's something to be addressed at that point. And once we have that hearing, we would have a discussion about what we think we might want to do.
And again, this boils back down into, right now, the authority to require studies and implementation of best available feasible technology is from 3142.5b. If you go on today to make the finding that it's an attachment G that says that they have satisfied that code section, you lose your ability to require all of the things that are under 13142.5, which includes the types of studies and implementation of those studies that you're speaking about right now. And so then you need to find what is the legal hook to force them to modify that facility, and that's where I would say you have a very challenging road ahead.
And this is the kind of risk for which more time would make it potentially less risky if we had more information.
Okay, and Amy, my view is, you said July the 31st, was a tight deadline, but why July the 31st and not August? I just want to make sure that I'm comfortable with the 2017. I just want to make sure that we would get good results in perhaps, I know the public works that, yeah, we will do our best to meet that deadline, but we need like an extra month because between now and July, we're going to have a lot on the plate in regard to this project.
We would be very happy to have an extra month. We would expect to use the time making sure that we had good discussions with your staff and a very thorough study proposal.
So I would suggest then amending to August and giving you that next month. So with this change, looking my left, my right, so now we have in front of us item 1, 2, and 3 with some of the language changes. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I would like to move that we adopt draft revised order number
R3-2010-0011 with the amendments which have been provided to us today. In addition, the amendments which we have discussed here from the podium, and let me attempt to list those, and I'm plenty willing to be corrected. The first was striking the word wetlands from small Roman numeral 2 of C desalination facility. The second was, and I believe, wasn't there something else, Mr. Chair?
Yeah,
there's
something on that
table. Hold on, let me answer. That item was to add the term executive officer after regional water board. That's correct.
Excuse me, can I make a suggestion we allow legal counsel to read into the record the changes?
Thank you.
Oh, and since it's a recommendation to the board, and I would leave the term regional water board, the executive officer does have delegation authority. I think that for simplification, it makes sense to leave that as written regional water board. But you do have flexibility if the board chooses to later instruct the CEO to bring that back to the full board, you have that option. And you still have the delegation authority. So I would leave that as approved by the regional water board prior to reactivating the delegation.
Then council, why have you on item 3 executive officer? I think we need to be consistent. I don't know if we're going to say state water board, or are we going to say executive officer?
You have the alternative of saying the regional water board as well on the item.
I would like, I mean, whichever language we use, I think it needs to be the same in each of these sections to be consistent.
And I'm comfortable with that suggestion.
Okay.
So I agree, Council. Let's just put Regional Water Board in because 3-2 also has Regional Water Board listed coming back with the analysis.
Mr. Johnson, please continue.
Thank you.
Okay, got it. I stand to be corrected.
So the first change was specifically for the term wetlands. The second change then is under small Roman 3, under sub 1, acceptable to the regional water board as opposed to executive officer. And Harvey is making those changes on the board if that's easier to follow along. And then the next change is from July 31st of 2015 to August 31st of 2015. Items, those are all the typos.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah.
Are we also going to approve an attachment G with this? Because there's a word I'd like to change.
Attachment G as revised is my proposal.
Okay, but there's a word I like considered for removal, attachment G, and it's in the fourth paragraph. It reads, thus the Regional Water Board did not make a formal determination about whether the desalination facility complied with the section. I would prefer to strike the word formal determination because I don't think we made any determination back then.
Council, do you have an input on that?
I think that is at the discretion of the board.
I'm fine with that amendment to my motion, and I would also request that staff take a look at the rest of attachment G, since we have made some changes to measures that we're putting in as permit conditions. It would be nice to have attachment G reflect those changes. You understand what I'm saying?
So attachment G has been modified. We left in the discussion of the three measures in the back end because normally you have attachment F, your fact sheet that would describe all of the permit conditions. Rather than trying to modify attachment F, we left the description of the three conditions in attachment G,
And then we simply added the sentence that is highlighted on the screen over there, which reflects these measures have been added to the permit conditions in section 1660.
That's correct. And so my suggestion is that as we have changed a couple things, we removed the word wetlands, for example, from the numeral 2, that we just make sure that those, that the ones in the attachment G comport with the changes that we made in the condition.
I didn't see your point. Okay, so we're...
That's pretty ministerial.
I was going to say, if you could scroll down, you can see those on the screen right here. This is the working copy, right, Harvey?
Right.
Great. So we're looking at removing the term wetlands, the coastal restoration project. And then scrolling down.
And also in that section, we added something saying we're an equivalent coastal wetlands restoration project, yada, yada, yada.
The language for equivalent coastal restoration project is in that already.
Okay, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Quite all right. Further down, I don't think we used the term executive officer, did we?
We didn't include the work plan in the section.
That is correct.
I don't think it's necessary, but permit argument requires it.
I agree.
Further discussion? Mr. Delgado?
Yes, yesterday we told the public who was here, including all stakeholders, that today we'd be giving some process general direction. Today we sort of had a quasi-public comment period where one stakeholder was understandably allowed to provide comment, which has impacted some of the board members' thoughts, which is totally appropriate. If this were to be a general direction, I see or I've heard from nobody of any other stakeholder, because probably they thought that today was going to be kind of a summarization and direction from yesterday. So I'll be voting no, because I don't think we have enough information, and also because this I don't think has been a fair to all stakeholder process this morning. Though we have made progress in short order, consistent with what we hoped we would have done last night, but we didn't expect last night to be having a motion to approve this in the presence of only basically one stakeholder, with comment further basically from only one stakeholder.
Just as a personal observation, we had an extensive public comment period yesterday, and the reason we asked for input is that the city got the permits, so I think it's only right for them to be able to answer specific questions that we have.
Exactly. And with new information that they brought in with their response, there has been no ability for other stakeholders to respond in kind. And so we take full value of what we've heard from one stakeholder, and then we move ahead with a decision that other stakeholders aren't participating for.
Dr. Hunter?
Mr. Delgado, normally we had continued this into beyond the 5 o'clock closing of the building. Normally we do not take additional comment once the board moves into its deliberation and discussion. The fact that my personal view is that the permittee continues to engage in a dialogue because we're imposing conditions in their signaling through their expert staff and consultants that yes, these are conditions that can be accomplished. So we're all on the same page and we're within reality. What we said yesterday, I understood to be clarifying what our options were and giving the staff time to develop a response to that, which is another phase of the process that we always engage in, which is staff comes back with their comments in response to what has been heard. So I consider the city's ability to answer our questions part of the clarification that we stated that we would do this tonight, leading to some final, whether we move forward in March or whether we approve the permit today. So from my perspective, I think we're totally consistent with what Chair Wolf asked us to do.
Mr. Chair, if I could make a suggestion. One, I think we should get on the record, have the city come up to the podium and state that they are agreeable to the changes. And secondly, to try and address Mr. Delgado's concern, you do have the option of temporarily reopening the hearing and asking Coastkeeper, who is here, to provide comments. Just a suggestion. But at least we do need to get the city, I think, to state on record that they are agreeable to the changes.
The only hesitation I have is that Coastal Keeper are not the only stakeholders in this process, and by allowing stakeholder one speaker only, I think it disenfranchises others. I'm just concerned about the fairness here.
You could open it up then to any stakeholders and give them a couple of minutes to comment.
I'm sorry, but Chair Wolf specifically said yesterday that there would be no further public comment, and that people had heard a different direction they would have come to make further comment. And typically, we do not accept public comment once all the public comments have been stated. Sorry, that was the word.
There was one question. Since we're sort of moving toward making a decision, last night you said we had some questions answered. Today, staff said that one important question they could not answer, and that perhaps legal counsel could. And that question was, were the CEQA findings in 1991 adequate or not adequate to meet water code that we're trying to make a finding for today? So if we are going to make a decision, let's at least get the questions we agreed last night answered.
Mr. Johnson?
I would like to call a question. We told people who are here for other matters that we would attempt to deal with this in a pretty expeditious manner. So I'd like to call a question, Mayor.
And to call a question, you vote approving the vote. You don't just go to a vote because one member wants to. So we're going to take a vote on calling the question.
Yeah.
So
it has to be an aye and nay.
Right. Okay. So do we have aye and nay on the question?
No.
On the motion?
No. I'm sorry. I made a motion to call the question. I believe the appropriate procedure is to take a vote on calling the question, which ends debate and allows us to move to a vote.
Did I hear Vice Chair Hunter second to the motion?
Yes, I did.
Yes. So, all in favor
of calling
the question?
Yes.
Is that everyone?
First answer, aye.
I don't understand this protocol. So, the question from the other board member, if we want to pursue it, yes.
We want to pursue the motion.
Oh, we want to pursue the motion.
The motion be.
Okay, that was.
So this is a motion, just to be clear, this is a motion to stop further debate, to stop further questions, and to move directly to an up or down vote on the motion. So if you're voting yes, you're voting to stop further debate and to move to voting on the motion. If you're voting no, you're voting to keep on.
I'm voting yes.
Yes.
So we know.
No. Yes.
So now we have a
motion. You have a motion.
And just to be clear, I think that clerk to the board should do a roll call count.
For the
actual
item.
And I think I need to restate my second based on the modifications
Excuse me, I'm getting confused. We currently had a motion that you made to adopt everything. You seconded it. Then we had discussion. Now we've had a second motion.
Please let the council clarify for you.
Mr. Johnson moved to end discussion and moved to a vote. Vice Chair Hunter seconded that motion. So the word moving section, Mr. Delgado has voted in favor of moving to a vote on the issue and to end discussion. And that's where we are now.
And what we're directing you is to make a roll call.
Dr. Wolf?
Okay, so just to clarify, the item you're voting on is the NPDES permit with the revisions to attachment G that have been on the screen, and also the revisions to provision 6B, 6C of the permit, as it has shown on the screen.
Dr. Wolf?
Yes.
Dr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Vontis?
Yes.
Mr. Delgado?
No.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Thomasberg?
Yes.
Mr. Young?
No.
So this motion is carried. And could you turn the light on, please? So what I'd like to, yes, Mr. Harris.
I was going to suggest that you heard.
That was just what I was ready. So we will take a short break and reconvene at 11 o'clock. Thank you very much.